So we have been saying our big interview for the day is the leader of the official opposition, John Steenhuisen, and he joins us now. John, good afternoon. John, are you there?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Very well. Thank you very much for joining us on 702 Afternoon Drive. So, I mean, first and foremost, we're going to be talking about how you intend to govern over the next 5 years. You've outlined governance plans. You have to admit, though, that you were in an unpredictable position. I mean, at the end of the local government elections and all of the things that you were saying, if you were unable to form a stable government, you were happy to go into the opposition benches in various hung councils around South Africa. But, well, it seems the EFF had other things planned for you, and the EFF and the Democratic Alliance finds itself in the mayorship in places they weren't predicted to take, places like Bogali City, Johannesburg, and a few others.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly we went into the selection of these office bearers with no quid pro quos with either the EFF or any of the other particular parties. They've chosen to support DA candidates, and I'm sure for all of their own reasons. But we now have a responsibility to try and form government there. I think that it is possible to form majority government, to majority opposition-led governments in both Johannesburg and Tshwane. And that's what we're seeking to do. I've been up in Johannesburg today to, amongst other things, initiate some talks around that. But then also, Ekurhuleni is obviously a lot more of a wider shot. And I've said there very clearly, we will try and govern and try and govern to the best of our ability. But if it becomes unsustainable or demands are made of us that are the opposite of what our values and principles are, we will obviously have to look at going back into the opposition there. But I think that we have to give it our best shot to try and form stable governments in these municipalities and try and see what we can do in this new era now of coalition politics.
Okay, before we go into what Julius Malema said about this being politics 101 and that they didn't support the DA, I mean, I suppose you would confirm that as well, but explain to me as a voter, how exactly is this going to work, especially in Johannesburg? Johannesburg is a broken city. It has, everywhere you look at it, like you say, a hydra of problems. There's problems everywhere you look. So how exactly are you going to try and keep to the promises that the Democratic Alliance made on the campaign trail?
By forming a solid majority government there, Action SA, the Patriotic Alliance and IFP, for instance, come on board, we will have a majority government, I think of around 139 seats, together with the Freedom Front Plus in that municipality. Which will mean we'll have a majority government that will be able to pass budgets, make appointments, and get things done over the next 5 years. I think that puts Johannesburg in a very, very sound position, and one in which I think we'll be able to deliver as a multi-party government on the key common objectives of service delivery, clean and accountable administration, fighting poverty, and creating employment. And I think that those are the things that the city will be able to coalesce around, including the program to get basic services up and running again. So I think it is in the realm of the possible to form an opposition-led majority government there with sufficient votes to do what needs to be done. And that's certainly what the focus is on the coming days and weeks.
So, John, you say that you're happy to go back to the opposition benches if this all ends in tears. I understand that you've just said you want to try and form a majority government in Johannesburg. That's still within your grasp. But in a place like Ekurhuleni, in a place like even Mogale City, how do you decide when to call time?
Well, you'll call time when you're forced into a position where, A, you're not able to pass a budget or get something important done, or secondly, where you're asked by somebody to do something that is the antithesis of your value proposition or what you put before voters. So, for instance, if someone was to come and say, well, we'll only vote for you to remain in office if you appoint so-and-so as the municipal manager, or you give tender X to person Y, those are things that would automatically trigger us saying, well, look, we're not prepared to stay in government at all costs. We've learned already what happens when you stay in government and compromise your principles. And in those cases, it's better to walk. And I think that's why it's very important that people read the coalition agreement documents that we've published on our website today, because those set out very clearly what the red lines are within those coalitions that we intend to, or minority government, and people must be able to understand why it is better to be in opposition than to govern badly and to govern not and to your values and principles, and govern in a way that betrays the undertaking you made to voters going into the election. So we've been very open and honest and transparent about what those red lines are. They're contained in the coalition agreement, and those will be the parameters that would guide any DA government over the course of the next 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, or 5 years.
Your enthusiasm and confidence notwithstanding, John, there is a very real possibility that this does all end in tears, though. I mean, what you're basically saying here is that you still do enter chartered waters, even though you do believe that you have a clear outline plan for governance over the next 5 years.
Of course, and much like you, Nicholas, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I always look for what is possible rather than what's impossible. And I think that if parties are mature enough to be able to start to navigate this new era of multi-party coalitions, and we do so with open hands, with maturity, and with an eye continuously on how we serve the residents of those cities best, I do believe that we will be able to find a sustainable, stable solution for governing in those cities. I think it's in the interest of the people of those cities that we make every attempt to do so, and that we only relinquish that prospect when there is very clear evidence that it is not going to be possible to achieve it in the short term, medium term, or long term.
As things stand, though, and I understand that negotiations are ongoing, we still haven't seen any of your mayors that have been put in the position of a mayorship come out with the MMC teams. Are you willing to accommodate the other parties that you do? I mean, obviously you'd have to if you do reach coalition deals, but if you enter into a minority government, for instance, are you willing to open the door to people to become part of MMC teams, you know, possibly with parties that you don't agree on, largely with along several issues?
Well, absolutely. I mean, what we'd look to do is to try and build as big a consensus as possible within those minority governments. And even in places where we formed coalitions in the Western Cape and other parts of the country, even where there's we've been able to form majorities with one other party, we've tried to seek out other parties to include in that. So, for instance, the ACDP and other parties are included in a number of coalitions in the Western Cape where we didn't necessarily need their vote to get a majority, but we felt it would be good for this new multi-party environment to bring them on board. And certainly in a minority government, what you'd want to do is try and build as broad a consensus as possible. So it's going to require maturity, and it is going to require people to put the ideological differences to one side in the greater interest of the people of those cities. But I do believe that there is a common thread that would hopefully run through all parties, and that is to do right by the people in those cities and to lift them out of poverty and into opportunity, to deliver good services, and bring a clean, accountable administration to the fore. I think that those are things that we can find consensus on, and that should be the basis in which I, with humility and with an open mind, will be going into discussions with those parties to see what we can put together.
John, how does this paint the picture for politics come 2024? Are you excited? Do you see the possibility of, is it beyond the realms of possibility to see someone like you thrown into the presidency, like the EFF threw mayors into their positions in Ekurhuleni and Mokgali City?
Well, I mean, I've said I'm a glass half full kind of guy, Nick, but yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. But I certainly do think that there is a prospect, finally, of us throwing off the yoke of one-party domination in South African politics in 2024 at a provincial and national level. I think we've passed the psychological threshold in this election where voters can now see that it is possible to bring the ANC below 50%. The job now that lies ahead of us as opposition parties, and why maturity, level heads, and cool, capable, deliberative decisions are required, is that we now need to demonstrate in the next 30 months, before the next national and provincial elections, that these governments, multi-party governments, can work together to bring stable government that delivers, and that it is a viable government model. I think coalitions have had a very bad rap in the last 5 years, and you've seen the flip-flopping and the government's collapsing and coming back into power again. I think coalitions have had a very bad name. That's why we would like to try and bed them down as much as possible to stabilize them and demonstrate over the next 879 days before those elections that this is a way to govern, and it is a way to bring stable government. And in fact, in a proportional representation system, it is the inevitable outcome of any particular election.
John, we've got someone that just called in. Before we bring him on, how are the Zulu lessons going? That's one question I wanted to ask, unrelated to elections.
Yeah, well, they're going all right, although I've started to look at doing isiXhosa a bit further, because just from a proximity to being in Cape Town more than Durban, it's going to be far easier. But certainly, Chris Pappas has given me some good inspiration to continue on with those lessons.
One Mlungu to another, John, just Zama, Zama, and Zama again. We've had Herman Mashaba listening to this conversation, John, and I understand that we brought you onto the program to chat to you, but he has called in. Herman Mashaba reckons that you're not representing what Action SA has said. Please do keep it brief, Mr. Mashaba. John Steenhuisen is still on the line. State your case.
Thank you very much, Nicholas. I'm actually driving listening to the interview, and I hear John Steenhuisen talking about Action SA being part of his negotiation team with other parties. Action SA has got absolutely no knowledge whatsoever. I'm the president of the party. I just finished my Senate meeting 15 minutes ago, and I reported to Senate that DA has not made any effort whatsoever to make contact with us. So I said, look, unfortunately, this is something totally outside our control. And I get into the car, rush into a meeting, and I hear him saying that Action SA is part of his coalition arrangement. I'd really ask John to please leave Action SA out of this. So we said we are...
Mr. Mashaba, we're just going to let Mr. Steenhuisen respond quickly. John?
Well, with respect and greetings, Herman, and it's great to hear you again. I don't think it's helpful for us to be entering to negotiations on the radio waves. I didn't say that I'd met with Action SA. I said that I'd met with two other parties today in Johannesburg to see if we could get them on board to form majority coalition. You would know that we've got a Gauteng negotiating team, and they will, in the next 24 hours, be activating a meeting with you and your team for next week. But I don't think it's helpful for you and I to appear to be at loggerheads on public platforms. I think this is precisely the maturity that I'm referring to, and I've really done my very best to refrain from making any insinuation about Action SA. I did not mention them as one of the parties that I met today, and I'm sure Nick can corroborate that. But we also engaged in party meetings and setting out our position, which we hope to be able to bring to you and others during the course of the next week. But I really think that the voters are expecting you and I now to be the big people in the room and to, you know, to act with respect and due process with each other, and that will take place. I've committed my party to doing that, and I will remain by that commitment.
Nobody said it was going to be easy. John Steenhuisen, thank you for your time. And Herman Mashaba as well, listening to that conversation, saying that Action SA hasn't been consultant. Like I said, there may be trouble in paradise before it's even reached.